Very Heavenly Father, we know that there is no problem that you're not aware of. There is no problem, Lord, that cannot be solved when we come to you, Father, just on the grounds of your word, even without praying, Lord. When there is a problem, we simply turn to your word and believe it. And already, Lord, our heart's cry has gone forth by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the answer is on its way. We thank you for that, Lord. We have our problems, Lord. We talked about this morning. We got election coming up. We wonder about Brother Stan, Lord. As far as the man's concerned, we have no wonderment. We wonder about ourselves, Father, what we more wonder about. So we pray you'll help us. And help us in our study this morning, Lord. Whatever it is we need, you'll help us to bring it forth. I know you will, because you never fail us. You never will fail us. Your unfailing promise, your unfailing word, always there is help as we turn to you for your word. We turn to you this morning, and we thank you for the help you have given us and will continue to give us. And this morning, in Jesus' name, we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're just about ready to go into the actual sermon itself, Shalom. And I believe we're at number 6 here. And last Wednesday, along with Sunday morning, we went into what we call the Omega Reflection, due to Brother Branham telling us in his sermon how that when we come together as part of the elect bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, that spirit that's in our midst takes more and more control over us. And there's just more of God. There's more of that reflection. Everything seems to come into a harmonious increase. Like Brother Branham said concerning himself, as John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. And so we find there has to be more and more of a decrease in the personality cult that is amongst us, and more of a word increase which overrides all personalities. Now, it doesn't mean that there isn't to bear fruit in those things, which someone would maybe take my words and twist them. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that Brother Branham said there's no great ones because the great one is amongst us. There's no holy men because the Holy One is in our midst. And we took that last Wednesday particularly, took a great deal of time with it, to encourage everybody to come to church not only as usual, but to come to church more often and with greater enthusiasm for the Word and for each other, because there will be an increase of love toward God and toward each other. In fact, the increase of love toward God depends greatly upon the increase of love toward each other. And I did make a little snide remark in there that I maybe you caught and took the wrong way. I mentioned, I said, if you come to church and you feel sour, well, your stomach's upset, I'll get by you all the roll aids you want. And if you're squinting like, I'll help you buy glasses. I hope you caught what I was trying to say. Look, no matter what happens at home, no matter what happens on the job, when you come to church, leave the door, throw it all behind you, and get here happy, whether you're happy or not, because you soon will be. Because as you reach out, forgetting those things that are Apollos at times bother us, then that reflection from the Lord, that word, will begin reflecting from you and toward each other. And you know, like poor President Bush, he said 1,000 points of light. He would have said 1,000 pointy heads, I'd have believed it, more than 1,000 points of light. Because they've thoroughly ignored the light that has come. When you talk about 1,000 points of light, Brother Branham almost reduced it to 500. He said 500 making, that means, of course, making the rapture standing here. It doesn't mean the people that are going to pass on. But there'll be that number standing. We want to be a part of that. So much depends upon that little statement Brother Branham said, coming together as a local assembly. And it really does mean an awful lot. It's like I told you that many times I'll feel very, very poorly getting the pulpit, and in spite of myself, I start to feel good until the next day. And then it starts all over again. Well, as long as there's a good day, a good Wednesday, and a good Sunday, I can't complain, because I've had a lot of good days, and I admit I didn't do too much with them. So, all right. Brother Branham was about to begin his sermon, and we're about to read then on page 6 exactly what Brother Branham said. And his reading is from, of course, Isaiah chapter 60, and then from Psalm 62. And in Isaiah, he reads, "Arise and shine," and he said, "For thee light has come," although in the Bible it says, "Thy light has come." And I can understand why he would say, "Thee light," because the light has come, and whether it's thy light depends upon whether you're bright or not. So we can say either one. It doesn't really matter. "Thee light," which is thy light to the people. He said, "I believe you're a portion of the true bride. Thy light, thee light has come, and is thy light, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Now what you're looking at here right away is God has given the antidote before the poison comes. Remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. But many people think the enemy has to come in first like a flood, then God will raise a standard. That never has been the case. In the Garden of Eden, had Eve stayed behind the word, the bulwark, the standard that God gave, the devil could have come and done his level best and nothing would have obtained. He couldn't have got any headway. So when you read the scripture here, don't get mixed up with your ideas and say, "Well, there's got to be darkness before there is light." That's not the truth. There's got to be darkness before the light becomes effective, which light was always there because God is light. "And the entrance of thy word giveth light, and the word of the Lord is forever and forever." So let's understand these things. You're looking then really, not figuratively, but judiciously and scripturally, you're looking at the fact of why God allows trials and things to come upon us, is to see if we will skillfully use what he's already given us. See, so that's what you're looking at here. All right, gross darkness upon the people. Of course, this is a prophecy of the last day we're living in. Now let's turn then to Psalms. "Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against the man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a..." Now you can use the word bowing or bowing, but the word actually is bending. So you see, a bowing wall, a bowing wall. I care not, the word is bending. It's bending. Then notice the next definition, "and a tottering fence." Something ready to give way. See? In other words, like a rotten fence, that's exactly what any church or anybody outside the bride is a rotten fence. See? They only consult to cast him down from the excellency. They delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, and they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him all the time. Ye people, pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Now, you notice in here that this is a lot like Brother Branham's sermon on the rapture. He reads in 1 Thessalonians, and then he goes to the Psalms to background showing that the rapture would come forth in troublous times when we would need something given to us ahead of the time of the trouble. It's just like the old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And as I've said many times, and I say again with Christian Science or Unity, whatever you want to call it, I agree. There cannot be a problem without an answer being there first. Always the supply was there. See, then difficult times can come around and God is merely testing us to see if we will draw from him. As Brother Branham preached the great sermon, Al Shaddai on the Breasted One. Can we really draw from God? So Brother Branham is telling us here that there is a peace. Now he's talking of peace. That there is a peace to come forth in a troubled time. Now, what you're really looking at here, according to the Word of God, is the Omega of the Alpha of the book of Luke wherein John the Baptist preceded Jesus, and then Jesus was raised up, proved who he was, and they cut him off, they destroyed him. Now that's what you're looking at. You're looking at the Omega. Where? At the end time. The same as John the Baptist come forth, the Elijah ministry. But under Hebrews 6, the Son of God is crucified to the people. You follow what I'm saying? This is exactly what you are looking at. So keep that in mind. Now, let's go back to the first little bit where it says, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, and the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Now, without a doubt, this is something like the paradox that people don't understand of how in the world this one there, coming there, and over here, he's the judge. Here he's a revelator, over here he's the judge. In other words, he's come to put in action his word for the last time, and it is so. And they say, well, if the judge comes, the judge of all the earth, that spells only one thing. That spells trouble. That spells the people are now going to be destroyed. That is not true. That is not true. God will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. And according to every scripture, he must appear to the righteous. Because God will not allow the bride to remain in darkness. Oh, come on. Right on the wall over there. Look at it. Look back yonder. Concerning Amos. See? God never, he brought those signs up here tells you concerning the fact of God will not let something happen unless he has a prophet there. And remember, Jesus was a prophet, and a prophet is always a judge. Now, people just, they don't understand this. There's a paradox to them. Now, the normal so-called revelation of this first bit of scripture of an Isaiah. Let's go back to Isaiah. And, I don't want to really take time to, well, let me start reading the first verse. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. Now that lets you know that there's something going on to make people think that something isn't going on. In other words, what's going on is all bad, and there's nothing good going on, and they wish something good was going on, and because they don't know it's there to go on, they just, well, everything's bad. You follow? Now he said, the Lord's hand is not short and he can't save. Well, there must be a lot of people in trouble. His ear is not heavy, they can't hear, then a lot of people aren't being heard. In fact, who is? But notice, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue muttered perverseness. None calls for justice or pleads for truth. They trust in vanity, speak lies, they conceive mischief, they bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web, and he that eateth of the eggs die, and that which is crushed breaketh forth into a viper. See, just everything problems. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and acts of violence in their hands. Now, these people here must think they're pretty good people. Now, the way you read it sounds like, hey, these are a bunch of dirty dogs, and you better believe God knows they're dirty dogs, and you better believe they know they're dirty dogs, and they're just trying to pull a deal. Oh, no way, shape, and form. Here's a bunch of legalists. Oh, they really think they're something. Now, their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Well, just a minute. Just go back to 1 John 3rd chapter on Cain. Offered an excellent sacrifice. Right there in the presence of God. Right there worshiping God. He's a killer all the time. Your thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Know better and don't do it. Wasting your destruction in your paths. The way of peace they have not known. There's no judgment in their goings. They've made them crooked paths. Whosoever go therein shall not know peace. You don't know peace. That's a great tribulation coming up. Right? Bring it today. There is judgment far from us. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither is justice overtaken. Now watch. Therefore is judgment far from us. Now listen to it. They want judgment and they're going to get it. What kind of judgment do they want? You're okay. You're fine. Come on in. Everything's great, and you're the greatest of all. You follow what I'm saying? Look at the picture here. Very same thing going on today. Therefore, judgment far from us. Ha ha. On one hand, yes. On the other hand, no. Yes, sir. See the light and darkness? Good and evil? Righteous escape? Wicked don't. See, never forget the parallelism of Scripture. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goes there and shall not know peace. There's judgment is far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light and behold obscurity. For darkness, we walk in darkness. We can even feel that ourselves. Say, hey, when's it going to all take place? We grope right before the wall like a blind. We grope as though we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as in the night. We're in a desolate place of dead men. Now, that's what he's talking about. Gross darkness, terrible condition. We roar like bears, mourn like doves. We look for judgment. There is none. For salvation is far off. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and for our iniquities we know. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving utterings of the heart, words of falsehood. Now, if you go back, which we won't bother reading at this time, first, beg your pardon, the third chapter of Revelations, you will find that nobody is absolved from being wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. But the judgment is this. I beseech you to come for me for gold tried in the fire, for the white raiment, and for the eye salve, which you think you have and don't have, and apply it. See? Come outside. I'm knocking at the door. And consort with me, and there you'll have fellowship. Scripture cannot be written except in one way. And that is when gross darkness in the world and people are in great problems. And God has a time of visitation coming. And it's in the Word, of course. That time of visitation, everybody is classified exactly the same, and the difference is always made by the presence of either God or his chosen vessel, and God in the vessel, and the word that the person brings. But you're under the same problem. Anybody that says, I don't need a prophet. I certainly haven't any need of the word. Like this fellow from India came over here. He said, the trouble is, he said, you Americans needed Brother Branham because you'd left the word. And he told us in India they hadn't left the word, and now he, on moon landing day, is this God, the Son of God came down and indwelt him. He even used the little song that Brother Branham used to the tune of Old Black Joe, you know. I'm coming, my head is bending low, you know, he's coming, you know, it's the same song. And he said, Brother Branham was singing about him. Now, if you want a good laugh, all you got to do is be around certain people who say certain things about themselves concerning this message, and you know it's fryer and a fritter. See, they simply don't understand. They refuse to believe what the Word of God says, carte blanche. And he doesn't say there's a bunch of you standing there haven't done this. He said the Laodicean age absolutely, positively is marked by gross darkness, and the people, the bride, are groping. And they haven't got a clue. Anybody that tells you he had a clue in my books is a liar. That's why you'll find me confess. I didn't have a clue. I sure I had a few doctrines right. No eternal hell. One God. And I had that loused up because I couldn't figure it. And I still don't figure it too perfectly. Eternal security. Sure, I knew predestination, some of those things. But do you think I could have gone back like we went back and who is this Melchizedek where predestination and sovereignty really lies? Come on, don't be ridiculous. Not a book in the world like it. See, so I was all loused up. And I got a long way to go. See? All right, in transgressing, lying against the Lord, departing away from God, speaking oppression and bold, conceiving from their heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward. Justice stands afar off. The truth is fallen in the street. Equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he departs from evil, makes himself a prey. Yeah. Caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware. Let any Christian, he just becomes a prey. You just become something to people around. The Lord saw and displeased him. There is no judgment. And he saw there was no man and wonder. There was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him. His righteousness has sustained him. In other words, God said, I've got to come on the scene myself. Now, do you think the Laodicean ages believe that God has to come on the scene? So many people that try to believe this message finally have discovered the presence is real. I've been preaching it for 15 solid years in every sermon. But I'm still wrong because you see that terrible spirit I got. No matter where you go, it's always the same story. That poor, that Lee Vale, that terrible spirit. Well, you know, because Brother Branham did say no. They say did, they didn't say. You got to have, he said, I'd sooner have the right spirit and the wrong doctrine than the wrong spirit and the right doctrine. He didn't say that. He talked about the heart condition. But his heart not being right. I'm going to ask you one question. How do you get your heart right fighting the Word of God? You're a liar. See, now I preach tough in this pulpit, but don't come to me with that nonsense. You see why I talk about deacons? If you can't take what I'm saying, don't, please, please don't run for deacon. Because the minute you're exposed, we'll ask you to resign. I'll just be honest with you. Anybody's the same story. So I'm going to tell you something. God only speaks by His Word. That's, you wait, we haven't got this message. I'm just coasting along here like I always do for the first 40 sermons. Then we get down to the meat of it. We're in the meat of it right now, don't worry. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. Brother Branham said the breastplate of the Urim and Thummim is missing. So what do you got instead? You got a revealed word. So God came down with a revealed word. Did he or didn't he? A helmet of salvation upon his head, showing headship. And he put on the garment of vengeance for a clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak, repent the judge. What did he say to you and me? Change your mind. What did he say to the whole world? Change your mind. Did they change their mind? No. According to their deeds, and accordingly he will repay, fury his adversaries, recompense his enemies. The coast will repay and recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall rise, lift up a standard against him. Brother Branham spoke on the ensign. Turned out he was the ensign. God raised up a man. Oh, people don't like that. Oh, let's read and find some more about it. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord from henceforth and forever. In other words, God laid down a plan and a program. And you can see it right here, how he does it. Now he says here, rise and shine. In spite of all this, everything's okay. Thy light has come, the very thing he talked about. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. They'll be very gross. And the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and so on. Now, let's go to the Songs of Solomon. And the 6th chapter in the 10th verse. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? Let's go back to Joel. 2nd chapter 7. They shall run like mighty men, climb wall like men of war. March every one in his ways. They shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one trust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they shall fall upon the sword, they'll not be wounded. They'll run to and fro in the city. They'll run upon the wall, climb upon the houses, enter the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. Heaven shall tremble. The sun and moon be dark. The stars shall withdraw their sign. And why did I read these two portions of scriptures? Because that's what the people in Pentecost and other places want to make this mean. That they're going to be a tremendous great people. They're going to do fantastic, wonderful works. Then they come up with such stupid ideas that there are vitamins in the Dead Sea that they'll take out and live forever. And they recultivate and reclaim the whole earth for God. They have gone from sanity to insanity. which started by changing one word. And there is no table that's not full of vomit unless it's been the word of the Lord come fresh. Not an old new patch on an old garment, but a new garment entirely. No, we don't go and believe what the people say in Pentecost and around the world, latter rain, what have you. We believe what the prophet said. Now, he said concerning this time, Matthew chapter 24, the third verse. And they said, what will be the sign of your presence, the time of the end of the world? And what he said was in verse 23 on, then if any man shall say, lo, here is Christ, lo, there, believe it not. There'll arise false Christ and false prophet. They'll show great signs and wonders, insomuch. If it were possible, they'll deceive every single person but the elect. In other words, everybody will be deceived but a very small number. Behold, I told you before, where if they say he's be in the desert, go not forth in the secret chamber, believe it not. He's telling you right there that God will be in a form of manifestation through prophets. Now you can say what you want, but that's what he said. It all depends on which group of prophets you're with. Now remember, Brother Brandon correctly said there's no such thing as more than one major prophet at one time. And you can't find any place in the scripture that mentions anybody save Elijah coming just before the end time. So therefore, if anybody's going to come, it's going to be Elijah. And then there's going to rise up, according to the word of God, people who can do the same thing, got the same power, but they're false to the word. So you got a lot of problem coming at the end time. Now, we're going to go to the next section. Back to Psalm 62. Truly my soul waits upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. In other words, nothing cataclysmic is going to happen to me. Lots of things, but not cataclysmic. Now listen. Brother Brown is speaking for this hour. How long will you imagine mischief against the man? All right? Now listen to it. See, years ago, we just sloughed this off. What does it mean? Who knows? Let's read on. We find something we like, we take it. What if you didn't take what you should have taken because you sloughed it off? See? It isn't going to work. Let's just go back to the book of Acts, the 13 chapters. The 13th chapter, verse 43 to begin with, I suppose. Let me see. No. 40. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers and wonders and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Okay? A man. Brother Branham always said, only a man. Okay? Let's go to the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter. In the 19th, middle of the 19th verse, he talks to them, says, when times of repentance shall come, times of refreshing shall come to the presence of the Lord, even he shall send Jesus Christ, which is appointed unto you. Now watch. Whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, the word began. Now the Bible distinctly tells you that before Jesus can descend from the heavens, somebody's got to bring restoration. And there's only one person mentioned in the whole Bible, so nobody has to be in doubt. Elijah must come and restore, period. Now, I don't care when he does it. I don't care how he does it, but he's got to do it. Jesus Christ cannot come as a human being. And he's a human being. He cannot come down to this earth. The heavens must retain him until a period of restoration. Now watch what it says. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things, and whatsoever he shall say unto you. It will come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Now the question comes up, is that prophet Jesus Christ, or is that prophet Elijah? What if it's both of them? It can't be Jesus because he's got to be retained. This is future history, not past history. This is future history. It can't be Jesus, the man. There's no way. No way, because it says he's got to stay there till the restoration comes. Restoration comes by Elijah. So what prophet you got to hear to get cut off? Elijah. See? Shall be destroyed among the people. Now that word means utterly destroyed. And that's from the book of Malachi. Utter destruction did not come at the time of Jesus when he was on earth. He himself categorically said, he said, you can blaspheme the Son of Man, but you cannot blaspheme the Holy Ghost, because when he comes as the Holy Ghost, which he has to come at the end time, you blaspheme him then. After you come to the Gentiles, it's all over. And they blaspheme en masse. Only a man. Come to pass, every soul will not hear, shall be utterly destroyed. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after. Now, first of all, he speaks to Moses. The next thing is he speaks to Samuel. Samuel was not a word prophet. Samuel was not a word prophet. No, sir, he showed me one thing Samuel wrote. Moses was a word prophet. Paul was a word prophet. William Branham was not a word prophet. Show me one word he wrote. Show me one word he had on his own. Show me one word. He could tell you in events, but he warned you that no prophet, true prophet, could come and say anything outside the Word of God when it pertained to the Word of God. But he also said, a true prophet could tell you things that weren't written in the Bible. And show me where it's written in the Bible that Mussolini would die hanging down in disgrace in the streets. William Branham cannot take one word that's not in the Bible. But just like Samuel, he discerned. And just like Samuel, he said, when did I ever lie to you? When did I ever take your money? When did I do this? And when did I do that? When was I ever wrong? Jesus is not based on Samuel. Jesus is based on Moses. So what am I looking at here? I'm looking at what I read here. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall all be slain. As a bending wall and a tottering fence. You're finished. They only consult to cast him down from the excellency. What about Chautauqua? Lindsay and Duplessy. Got up and they said, well, William Branham is the prophet when he discerns, but he's way off on the word. How can you be off the word if you're a prophet? Because the prophet is only a mouth. He's nothing else. He doesn't have his own thoughts. The only consult to cast him down, they delight in lies. You'd be surprised how many people have lied about Brother Branham and lying more than ever. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Now that's the presence of God. Pillar of fire, come down with the angels. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. Now Brother Branham is equating all this to the end time light. There's nothing he's not equating to it. This is the end time light. This is the condition. This is what's happening when this light comes to the bride. This is 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord descend him the shout. This is 1 Corinthians 15. The Lord putting his church in order. See, now how does he do it? And God is my salvation and my glory. In other words, my estimation, where my weight is, what do I carry? I have nothing but God. And that's great. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Brother Branham categorically said the truth. I've got to decrease and he must increase. And the increase is proportionate to the revealed word that is accepted. We'll find that out when Brother Branham explains more. Let's go to Malachi 3 again. We love Malachi because that's what we try to build the church on. How successful you are depends upon our election and how we apply ourselves. It says here in verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Not speaking to God, they're speaking to each other. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. Now listen. He that turns away his ear from hearing my law. He categorically says, I will turn away from hearing his prayer. He even says that he that turns his ear away from my word, his prayer is an abomination. A woman going around in men's clothes. You think God's married to that kind of tripe? You can make soup out of tripe, so I don't know if I've said use even a good defiling the word tripe even. He says here, they that feared the Lord spoke often another. Then if God only inclines his ear to his word, what are these people talking? Now they're not talking the Pentecostal word. This is the book of Malachi concerning Elijah. So they're talking Elijah's word. And who is Elijah? The end time prophet. And what spirit does Elijah have upon him? The spirit of God for the hour. Anybody knows that? Brother Branham told us, and anybody knows it just by even a Bible student. A book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Now listen, can there be a godly fear and a righteous thought outside of a revealed word? No. This is what I keep talking about, the omega reflection, the cyclotron of the hour. That's why we lay down rules about deacons and all. If I'm going to be up here preaching the deacons out of order and the doctrine and all, and there's the talk going around and the confusion, how are the people going to get anywhere? The minute there's a confusion, you instantly block off that cyclotron effect of God. The minute you pull a veil down on Moses or William Branham or me or anybody else that you're supposed to listen to, in the sense that you listen to me because I'm pastoring here. Not any other reason. So just watch that carefully. Nobody in the church has to listen to me. In fact, it's a good thing they don't. There's no problem preaching here now to answer to God. But if I'm going to answer to God and be a servant of God in this word, you've got to understand what I'm dealing with, the constant repetition of this word over and over and over. In fact, I'm going to tell you honestly, when you get the moment, I'm going to preach nothing but vindication. So if you want to stay home, you can stay home and get the tape. I'm not going to preach anything new. Because it works. If you really believe what you saw, or think what you saw, in other words, get down to what really happened, you're in the divine groove, in the divine flow. It says they, in a book of remembrance written. Now watch what it says concerning them. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. How is he making up his jewels in the era of gross darkness? He's picking out those that have the word. Brother Branham categorically said concerning Luke chapter 17, where one is taken and one left. He said that is the rapture. But in Matthew 24, one taken, one left. He said that's the separation by the word. You believe for one single solitary moment that Luke 17 and 30 is for anybody outside of those that are going to be taken off the earth? Come on. It's not for anybody else. There's no way, shape, and form. Now he said, in that day I make up my jewels. Now what's the jewels made up for? The crown and the breastplate. See? And I'll spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Now watch what he said. At the time this takes place, then shall you return. And discernment shall come amongst you. For the first time, since the time of Paul, and in greater measure, the bride can and will discern. In other words, she'll have the power to judge, and her judgments will be right. Has to do with the word now, mind you. Discern between righteousness and wickedness. Between him that serves God and him that doesn't. Now you tell me, how many people can differentiate between William Branham and Oral Roberts? Now you can differentiate between Baker and Swagger. But we don't know what Oral's going to come into when the IRS gets onto his back. and the whole ball of wax blows out, where will they stand? I don't know. I'm not condemning them. I'm just wondering myself. I trust they'll be fine. So here's what you're looking at. You're looking at Brother Branham making us to understand the Omega of the Alpha is upon us. As it was in the time of Jesus and John the Baptist, you now have the very same thing. And the peace of God is going to come at this time, and it's going to come according to the book of Isaiah. All right, now he says in paragraph 32. Now, if you noticed in the scripture reading there in the Psalms, it kept saying, God is my rock. Do you know what a rock represents in the Bible? Now, you see, here is where the people go haywire. They will not agree with Brother Branham. They will tell you that the rock is God, that the rock types God. See, they'll tell you that. They will not tell you that God and His Word are synonymous. They won't do that in this message. And I keep telling about that guy that below Chicago. I refused on the envelope. The second time he didn't send me any more of his dirt. He's the guy that said, Brother Branham made mistakes. Well, you come around here, don't send me your letter, don't even come to church. If you think Brother Branham made mistakes, I would ask you just one thing. Well, you can stick around us, all right. We'll take good care of you even, but you're going to regret you stuck around. Because he's white throne right now. And I'm not lying. God and his word are synonymous. There is no difference. That's why when the Bible said he will judge the world by one Christ Jesus, Brother Branham said, and he is the Word, and he did not mean simply Logos, he meant Rhema Logos. Because before there is a Logos, there must be a Rhema. You say, just a minute, don't just a minute me. That in the mind there, brother, sister, just simply a word is a Rhema, and when it begins to move out, it becomes Logos. An expression. And Logos simply means the very expression. God and His Word cannot be separate. There is no degree of separation here. That's maybe hard to see, but I thank God the Lord showed it to me after all these years. I accept it, and everything becomes clearer now. See, until you really accept into you and draw and make yourself that bridge to the Word by faith, by a true revelation, you are going to be stumbled. And you listen to any kind of junk. Because you see, you don't know where you stand. See? All right. God is my revelation. He is. A rock in the Bible here represents the revelation of God. See, God is my revelation. He is. See, the revelation of the Word is the rock. Because Peter one day, when Jesus had asked the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And one of them said, some of them say you are Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But that wasn't the question. Well, now you see, it was the question, but it wasn't the question. It was the introductory question. Who do men say that I am to check on what's out there? Now that we've laid it on the table, what's out there, I want to know, who do you say I am? I might say this morning, how many gods or what kind of a God does the world out there have? You say, well, the world has at least three. Well, maybe at least one. But I know they have up to three. Some have many more. But I say, how many are there really? What do you say? See, that's what he's saying. That's the real question. The first question was merely to come to the question. Who do you say that I am? Never mind what people are saying. Stand up and talk for yourself. Are you with the crowd as any old dead fish can flow down the river? Have you got some life that you'll swim up the river? Peter spoke up with these famous words, and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. What do you mean flesh and blood didn't do it? The flesh and blood was the theologians and all those birds out there that had all the answers. He said, you didn't tell me what they're saying. You didn't say what's in the Talmud. You didn't say anything the philosophers and Hillel and the rest of them are saying. He said, you said what God told you to say. He said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonas, flesh and blood didn't reveal you, but my Father, which in heaven, and upon this rock, see? And David's speaking here, God is our rock. Now watch. God is our rock. Only and under the consideration that he's been revealed to you. Let me read what the prophet said. God is our rock. God is our rock when God has been revealed to us. Okay. Ephesians, the first chapter. The rock of the seventh church age is not the rock in the sense of revelation. In the definitive and final form that it is today, because it says here in verse 15, wherefore also heard the church of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you full of the Holy Ghost, sealed to the day of redemption, you're going to make the resurrection. Cease not to give thanks, you making mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of him, in order that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, in order that you may know what hope is calling, which is going to inherit in the saints, in order that you may have the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working power, and his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and took him up in a rapture. How are you going to make the rapture without the rock of revelation? Well, I believe God, Brother Vale. I've always believed only in one God. What about the prophet? Well, listen, there's a lot of guys have a lot of understanding outside of Brother Ben. You just died right there. You just died right there. Where's your friends? Where's your friends? Proof for your great democratic thought. I don't have democratic thoughts. I wouldn't give two bits for any of you guys' thoughts sitting here. Now, if you want to talk the word, you can say what Brother Branham said. We'll have a good time. A better time than you think. But if you just want to give me some ideas, you know, you're just kidding yourself. If you could see inside of me. Oh, Brett. You think my sarcasm up here in the pulpit is rough? I just sort of die inside of you. People say things way off beat, you know. It's not nice, I know, but I'm not a nice guy. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. There's this white throne judgment. I can't lie to you. No. God is your rock when he has been revealed, and only if he has been revealed, that becomes a rock. See, God is our rock. Now, let's go back and read a little Bible, and then I'm going to quit, because you know me, I preach for 14 solid hours if I could take it. I wouldn't care about you. It's a matter of me. You know, I'm just teasing you. Let's go to Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow the way that leads unto life, few there be that find it. Okay, that's very good. And we just keep reading. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing on the outside. They look exactly like Christians. They act like Christians. And absolutely according to their ways, they are Christians. But I got word for you, they're devils. They're wolves. The Word of God tells us if the devil can transform himself into an angel of light, how much more his messengers? You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit, hewn down, and cast the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, what's he talking about? He can't be talking about works, because they look just like us. He's talking about prophets. What are prophets supposed to do? Come in the name of the Lord and bring the word, right? Let's keep reading. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we're not prophesied in thy name, but they're supposed to do that. And thy name cast the devils, they're supposed to do that too. And thy name don't want to work, supposed to do that too. But he's going to turn around and say, I never knew you, depart me, you work iniquity. So all of these good things they're doing is nothing but iniquity. The very sweet life they live, all this stuff is iniquity. You know, when you look at this, I can't understand how preachers get in the pulpit and destroy their congregation. Now, there are people sitting right here this morning, several families, that have been literally destroyed by their pastors, so-called. And they have no qualms. I got a couple that just took off my mailing list. Forget it. Forget it. Talk as the authority of God. Try to destroy people's lives. Bind them by fear. How did one guy build a church? He got people to mortgage their homes and give them the money. What if he hadn't been able to pay them back? Do you think God does things like that? Maybe he does, but not around here. Not the God I know. Break up homes. Listen. Let's look at this again. Cheap clothing. How stupid can you get to believe a man that's worse than these guys? Well, come on. These aren't a bunch of rough and tumble harem scarem birds. A lot of them proving to be. These are nice fellas. But they'll destroy you. Now listen. Therefore, he is drawing a conclusion. And here's the meat of all the rest gone before. There's something these guys don't have. And we're supposed to have. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now you're getting to what the false prophet and the fruit and everything else is all about. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and gross darkness was upon the earth, gross darkness upon the people. It was founded on a rock. What was the founding of the rock? The word of God which they received, which was the word of God. Everyone that hears the sayings of mine, do them, be like not a foolish man, build his house upon the sand. The rain descended, floods came, the wind blew, beat upon the house, it fell out, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and the preachers that don't know the doctrine, and the prophets that don't know the doctrine, and anybody that doesn't know the doctrine will be a wolf in a sheep clothing. He can be a mighty fine, wonderful, smart man. He'll lead you right into hell. So you better check me on this pulpit, and you people that don't belong here, got your own churches, you better watch your own preacher. Let me tell you, flat. I'm just about through having a good word for anybody. I don't have any for myself either, so don't think so. But I've listened, I've watched them. Let me tell you something else. If your preacher amens everything, just because somebody says, I teach Brother Branham's message, you better watch him, because I just may come down there and preach you a phony. And I could do it too. I'm not that dumb. But I am in this respect. I don't have any interest. The truth is so much more fun. It's so hilariously elating, uplifting, edifying, glorifying. So much joy with no backlash to your soul, to your life. Somebody else is sure, because it's a sword. It's too wonderful. I couldn't waste my time on it. You see what he's saying here? Now, depart, I never knew you. And so on. And let's run over to Matthew 24, which I read to you. Matthew 24, 23, then if any man say, lo, here is Christ, lo, there, believe it not. For these people shall arise, false prophets. I told you before, back in Matthew 7. Therefore, if they say he's in the desert, in other words, if they say he is a person in a certain place, forget it. That's physical. Listen, what does it say? For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth of the west, even so shall the Son of Man, coming the Son of Man, be. And listen, the coming of the Son of Man has to precede the tribulation. So this isn't physical. Isn't physical he's talking about. And he said, learn a parable of the fig tree, put you the time of history. Goes right on down, and you can combine that with Luke, the 17th chapter. So how's it going to be? It's going to be light. That's the light that's going to come, that's going to rise upon us in the presence of Almighty God. God and His Word, God bringing His own Word. Okay. Let's go a little further. Let's turn to Matthew 25, because this is one big long sermon. And in the first 13 verses, he tells us something here. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins, took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Now let's watch the difference. They're both virgins. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamps. For the bridegroom tarried, the all slumbered and slept. Midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes, go to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now, there's nothing wrong with the lamp. There just wasn't any oil. Now, what did Brother Branham tell us, which is true? The conduit of the Holy Ghost is the Word. So therefore, they did not have a word that had the oil. They must have had the wrong word, because these other ladies had plenty of oil. There wasn't anything wrong with their vessels. It held the oil. Okay? The wise answered, saying, not so, lest it be not enough for us and you. Go ye rather them that sell and buy for yourselves. Well, and this is, of course, the parable part here. Where they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Now watch. They that were ready went in into the marriage. The door was shut. What did they have? They had the right word. And the right word has the Holy Ghost. So therefore, you don't need to worry one speck about the Holy Ghost, though the majority, and myself included, that makes 100%, do worry about it. And we're 100% wrong. 100% wrong. You don't have to worry about the Holy Ghost if you got the vessel. You got the Word. And the Word is the doctrine. He taught them the doctrine with great authority. And they said, who is this man? That's Matthew 7. Reading all the way down from about verse 13 to the end of it. If you have the right word, you don't have to worry. I know people try to say, well, Brother Branham didn't say that. Then what did he say? You know what he told you flat? If you weren't elect, you couldn't have the right word. So if you've got the right word, then you've got God. And God is the Spirit. You've got that right word correct. You have the doctrine. You have no fear of anything concerning the Holy Ghost. That's why Brother Branham said, pile word upon word upon word until you are literally a living, moving statue for God and of God. That's why I keep telling this as a church. The more we understand this, one day we will be forced to understand it. As the squeeze comes down, we'll be forced to esteem it more than our necessary food and our necessary energy. We will be. You get as sick as I was, you'll find one thing, there's only God left. And it's so nice to have a wife or somebody you can really pray with. How many preachers even pray with their wives? How many husbands pray with your wives and children? One day you'll find out how nice it is to have somebody you can pray with. Don't ever fool yourself, little children. There's a whole lot more to living than some of you have been doing. You got maybe one side of the ledger and you're filling it all up. What do you got on the other side of the ledger? I don't stand here as though I've got it all. Let me tell you something. You learn something by suffering. You learn something by age that you never learn any other way, because It's like the Greeks said, education was suffering. Education, hardship. And the Bible speaks of the hardship at the end time. But it's good to have the rock. Now listen, at the time of this revelation, behold the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. See? Only those evidently met him and went in with him who had oil in the vessel. Now, when does the word of God lose its power? When it's fulfilled. Every single message except the seventh church age message has lost its power. And the tragedy is at the end time, the Pentecost with their gifts are the ones that are controlling the sea. But one day fire will come down and burn the chaff. You see, how do you know that? Because one day a man called Moses had the word of God for his hour. And some bishops, elders, priests, call them what you want, rose up against Moses. And they prophesied. And they said, let me tell you, Moses, you're not the only one. And Moses said, would God everybody in the camp could prophesy. He said, I'm not here trying to have any influence on anybody and take any control over anybody. But you know something? Those people blinded the children of God that could be blinded. And fire came down and destroyed them. There was a separation. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. Before the fire ever separated those people, the word of God already had. Before there's a white throne judgment, before fire falls on this earth, before anything is going to take place, which it will shortly, remember this one thing, the word has already come down. That's one reason you know it's all over. How can God be your rock and my rock if the revelation is missing? How can there be any hope unless there's been a reexamination? How can there be any possible salvation outside of repentance and the verbal acknowledgement, I was wrong? How can there be any justification for hope that will advance unless we say from this point on, I'll be right? And how are you going to be right outside of a prophetic word? Now listen, when the close, you know, we keep going back to the Omega reflection. To encourage you to let you always know this, I don't care how you feel within yourself and what your thoughts are. There are thoughts higher than your thoughts and my thoughts, and those thoughts have already said when the veil is taken off the mind and off the heart. Through a ministry ordained in a man by God. Amen. And that heart and mind turns to God via that word. There will be a transfiguration. It's the passive faith that does it. It is not the active. Passive faith begins with recognition. And recognition said to Abraham, your body is dead. The womb of Sarah is dead. Dead is dead. So forget it. God made a promise. Now I'm out of the picture. Let's see what God can do. That's passive faith. That is not active. The only activity there is in the mind, the decision. And once the decision was made, the rest was up to God. And you notice Jesus said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, you're this or that thing. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ. Did Peter open his mouth and suddenly something bubbled up inside so he heard himself say it? I can believe it could have happened, but I don't believe it. I believe inspiration struck his mind. And the wheels by the Spirit of God begin to turn because God is the wheel within a wheel when Ezekiel saw him. And the wheels of God by the Holy Spirit begin to turn within his mind. And suddenly he knew something that he couldn't know any other way. And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And down the road, Peter couldn't even recognize him in the resurrection. And he had to get a new repentance. And you notice every Sunday we're getting a new repentance. Every Sunday we're getting a little change, a little different. And you say what you want, but I'm going to tell you this. That's what happened to Abraham before the fire fell. It was the life of the Word of God for the hour vindicated. And that's what's going to happen to us by the grace of God. I don't actually have to get excited about it. Try to tear up your life for somebody else or try to sell them about it. I just ask you this one thing, believe it. And pile word upon word. And one day the life will be manifest. Let's rise and be dismissed. Again, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kind love and mercy to us, O God, which you've extended this day and manifested to us by grace, allowing us to get together to be in your word, Lord. And frankly, I must admit it's a wonderful time for me to stand up here with your word, knowing some of these thoughts have already been placed in my mind by the word, and yet other thoughts keep slanting in, Lord, concerning it, as it was with the prophet, word upon word upon word upon word, doctrine, doctrine. And all the time magnified, Lord, all the time rich and reader, because, Father, we know this one thing, that if we fill our minds with this word, there comes a time when that's all will be in our minds, is this word. Man bring up a subject, how many gods? We know there's one God. Person bring up a subject, what about the baptism? We know about that too, it's a rebirth. Comes without sensation. How does a man get filled to this day, piling word upon word? All these things, Lord, we know, and they're in our minds. We have the answer. We have a ready tongue, indeed, as we ought to have a ready tongue, because the mind has been made ready. And, Lord, we know there's something greater than all that, and that is the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which we believe we have, which we're concerned and sure we do have, that one day that same life is going to transfigure these bodies, and suddenly we'll be lighter than air, though heavier than air. We can take off. Travel like a thought, gathered with you at the last trumpet to crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I know that's not too real at this moment, Lord, and I know it's not supposed to be. I know the shout is what's real. And that's our joy today, Lord, to know that we are a part of this word, a part of you, and we thank you for it, feasting on you, Lord, the very life, feasting on the rich of your grace. Father, I pray that somehow in the meetings coming up down there in Texas, Lord, it was in Texas you appeared there as a pillar of fire, vindicating the prophet and showing that same one that spoke to Moses, the same one to Paul, the one that gave the word here, interpreting it. I'm not asking for anything the prophet ever had, Lord. I don't want that. But it would be something maybe we could ask for here, Lord. You'd quicken in such a way that as we come back, Lord, if we do get there and have a service and come back, that we couldn't possibly be the same. Because we've received a measure of the life, Lord, that transformed us more and more into word. The word that manifests you, a part of the Logos. Bless each one this morning, Lord, sick amongst us that need healing. I pray, Lord, they're sick amongst us. They won't leave this building in an unwell condition, Lord. They'll leave this building in a good condition. The very word, Lord, that's preached here is that same word of the same life that does the healing. It's the same life that did the creating. It's the same life that did the sustaining, because we know there's only one real life. And that's you. So, Father, help us to become a little more uncomplex this morning, a little more simple, to get where the prophet was in his simplicity and what he's trying to show us. So we commend every single person here, and thank you for our ability to do so. Thank you for your loving care. And we praise your name till we meet again. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. The Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you.